Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's the very best in the business with all things recruiting. He's 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Editor. He is Brandon Huffman. Brandon, thank you for joining the show again, man.
You bet. Anytime, Andy.
So in the first segment, I talked about the kind of the logjam with scholarships, in that the COVID pandemic caused the NCAA to kind of grant kids another year of eligibility. Programs can decide if kids get an extra year of eligibility, but that actually might really hurt the class of 2022 on the back end unless the NCAA steps in. I was kind of hoping you could summarize it. I did the best I could, but I feel like we should go to the expert for this, because it feels like you have a better handle on things than I do with this.
Well, sure. That's what I'm here for.
Thanks.
The most interesting aspect is going to be just essentially what the NCAA is going to cap the number of offers, of players on scholarship, and what the timeline of those extended scholarships, the extended numbers will be. Will it be 2 years? Will it be 3 years? Will it be, 85 is the number now? Will it be 95? Will it be 105? Will it be like, you and I talked about earlier, 107, which is, or 97, which is kind of the halfway point of 25 from the 85 that you're at. So once numbers start getting established, then I think colleges are going to have a better idea of how they can recruit this next class. But I also think that there's going to be a larger number of schools going to the transfer portal than recruiting traditionally out of the high school ranks, because instead of trying to find a kid who maybe didn't play his junior season because his state didn't have football, maybe trying to find a kid who hasn't really done any film since his sophomore year, they can go get a guy who at least was able to play at a college. Maybe he didn't necessarily play, but maybe he at least worked out there. But he was good enough to sign with the Division I school out of high school. So there's a little bit less risk taken when you go after a sitting college player who's now transferring. So the 2022 kids find themselves kind of in that, horrible position of, in some cases, they may not have a junior year, and there's no certainty they're going to have a spring of their junior year when the eval period starts, when the camp period starts. So colleges may end up hitting the portal harder than they ever hit it, and which means that the guys that probably suffer the most from that are the high school kids that are in the 2022 class, because the 2021 class is signed, but the 2022 class is really that next class of recruits, and the offers haven't been flying out to them like they've been to this type of class in previous years.
As it stands now, from my understanding, talking to Pac-12 football coaches, my understanding is if it stays at 85, which is technically where it's at now. Now, everyone thinks there's another shoe that's going to drop, that the NCAA says, okay, you can have 97 or 95, and then you've got 2 years to get down five a year, 95, 90, back down to 85. As it stands now, if it stays at 85, there are multiple Pac-12 schools that tell me, we've got five scholarships for the class of 2022. We've got eight scholarships for the class of 2022. Is this a situation where maybe the NCAA took too long? Because it seems like coaches right now are sitting on their hands, not recruiting 2022. They're not sure if they want to offer any 2021 guys late. We're not seeing a lot of movement with commitments and offers late like we normally do between the early and late signing period. And we're not seeing a ton of kids except the very top flight kids in the transfer portal committing right now. Is that just because everyone's waiting for the NCAA to say, what's our scholarship limit? Because if we don't know, we can't really do anything.
Yeah, I think that's really a big sticking point with schools, is they can't really make a move until they know what kind of numbers they're working with. It's not like every school has the budget of Alabama and LSU, where if you tell them you can have 105 players on scholarship, they'll cover all 105 players on scholarship. People don't understand that just because the NCAA is allowing for this year of eligibility for the current players that are NCAA programs right now, the schools are still on the hook for paying for those 85 players. This isn't the NCAA giving them money to say, okay, here's an extra 25 scholarships and the money that goes with it. No, the school's on the hook for it. So when you're at a bigger school, you have the money to have 105 guys on the roster. When you're at a MAC school, when you're at a Sun Belt school or a Mountain West school, you may not have those 85 scholarships becoming that easy, let alone adding another 10 to 12 guys. So schools are really trying to figure out from a budgetary standpoint, how many scholarships truly do we have to work with? How many of our players are going to leave and graduate and maybe transfer themselves, maybe give up football entirely now that there's no pro career? How many are going to leave early for the NFL? And so coaches basically need to know what kind of numbers they're working with, and then also their own roster management, their own personnel, who's coming back, who's staying, who's not going to play football anymore. Then that gives them a better idea of how many players they can take in the 2022 class, because most coaches offered and recruited the 2021 class like it was a normal year. But if you're not losing players, if they're not leaving because this year essentially was a wash, now you've got 95 to 100 guys on your rosters on scholarship come, you know, next September. How are you supposed to figure out who's coming back, who's leaving at that point, and how many scholarships am I going to be able to now offer as a result of that? So schools are really being hampered by the inaction of the NCAA to give a hard cap number.
We're talking to 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Editor Brandon Huffman. There seems to be a perception right now that it's selfishness and playing time that is the reason the portal's full. And I know the NCAA is very, very likely, it's a mere formality at this point, that they're going to approve a rule where kids can transfer one time for free anywhere in the country. And so we were going to see a busier transfer portal than ever. But I also do wonder if schools are already starting to do the math of, we're going to have 97 guys on scholarship next year, and if we have to get down to 85, we better start telling some guys that they should move on. Do you think some of this early activity and going forward, the number of names we see is not just a result of players, but also programs kind of whittling down their roster to make sure that they can get to that 85 cap that the NCAA let them ignore for a year?
Absolutely. And I think here's why you're seeing this probably play out, or you will see this play out more. Remember, the majority of college football programs didn't get spring practice. And that's kind of where you see a natural attrition happen, where guys, maybe they come in, they don't play the season, but then they want to at least see where they stand after spring ball. And maybe some guys graduate, some guys leave and transfer. And now I have at least spring practice to figure out where I stand on the depth chart. Well, now with no spring ball, these guys couldn't make a move at that point because they didn't know where they stood. So they had to wait until the season, and then the season keeps getting pushed back or the season is shortened or whatnot. Now, guys, I think you're going to see a busier transfer time in the month of January with guys reading the writing on the wall, but then also with coaches saying, listen, we know you came here. You should take advantage of this one-time transfer rule. The reality is you're not going to play here. We recruited four guys at your position that we're more excited about. I think because there's been so much attrition in the coaching ranks the last few years, I mean, with the exception of Kyle Whittingham at Utah, and I guess Clay Helton at USC, just about every other school and David Shaw at Stanford, just about every other school in the Pac-12 has had their head coach there for 5 years or less. So a lot of guys are still there that came from a previous coaching staff. You have some schools that didn't even get a spring football, and you have brand new coaches that they wanted to see what the spring brought them so they can have their own attrition, and guys just didn't leave. So now I think there's going to be a lot more candid conversations coming from head coaches, basically spelling out, you could stay here, but you're never going to play. If you truly want to play, I suggest you put your name in the portal. We won't block you. We won't stop you from going anywhere. And you're going to see an even bigger increase in the portal in the weeks ahead.
Okay, we're going to end on a positive note, because if you're a class of 2022 parent or recruit right now, you're sobbing listening to this. So positive news, not necessarily for the class of 2022, but for a lot of our listeners, we are the home of the Ducks. Who's the Oregon Duck signee from this class that you think's going to be the biggest star in college football? Who's the guy that's going to rise to the top and be a superstar, and why do you think that?
You know, I think the easy answer would be to say Ty Thompson, because it's a quarterback-driven market. It's a quarterback-driven sport. It's a quarterback, you know, friendly offense, and an offense that, you know, just had a top-five pick, a top-ten pick, who's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year. So you've got some reason to believe that a quarterback could come in, given the way the quarterbacks played at Oregon this year, and have a chance to be the guy right away. That neither really did a good job to secure the job moving forward, so that makes it right for a true freshman. So the easy thing would be to say Ty Thompson, but I'm going to take it another way. I'm going to say it's Trey Franklin, because I've been telling his high school coach this for a year and a half. Even though my player comp for him is Marquise Lee, he reminds me so much of Devontae Smith as a high schooler.
Whoa.
Just in his build, in his frame, and the type of just the way they run, the way they catch the ball. He's not quite as fast as Devontae Smith, but you'll see a lot of physical similarities. They're both pretty long, lanky, skinny, slight of build type guys who make a bunch of plays. Devontae Smith was a five-star receiver coming out of high school. Troy Franklin is a top-five receiver coming out of high school as well. So a lot of similarities in their body types. And I'm not saying he's going to be Devontae Smith, but I'm also saying that it's time to start giving the receivers the credit that they're due, that it's not just the quarterback who are the stars of teams, that receivers can be the stars of the team. And I think Troy Franklin can have a Devontae Smith type of effect at Oregon the next few years, just in terms of what his overall playmaking ability is. And I think he's the real true star that's coming out of this 2021 class.
There it is. Brandon Huffman predicts a Heisman Trophy for Troy Franklin. I'm just kidding. I know what you mean. I will make sure to put that in context. Thank you so very, very much for joining the show. And I think that's a good point. I think so many people get enamored with that quarterback that they forget these receivers are stars in their own right. And if he does have a big season, Troy or Ty Thompson does have a big career, it could largely be because he has a future couple of big-time NFL receivers on that roster 4 or 5 years from now.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.